Okay, if you have a Bible, let's turn to Psalms 38. Psalms 38. Are you alive?
Yes.
Oh, only one third are alive. Are you alive?
Yes.
Praise God. Psalms 38. Okay, I'm going to read to you from the King James Version. Okay, I always like the King James Version because the words are always very accurate. Okay, I know it's very hard. It's Victorian language. It's very hard to understand. But I think since I became a Christian, I've always stick to the one version. If you want to learn to memorize your Bible, you stick to one version. Okay? If you have, like Pastor Lily, she likes the RSV. So she stick to the RSV since the day she was born again. Because if you always change your version, you will not be able to memorize them. Okay? So you just stick to one version. Whatever version God has given you, you find that you like it a lot. Some, you like the NIV. So you stick to the NIV. And you will be able to learn to memorize and keep many of the portions of scripture in your mind, okay? I think, I realize that as I grow older, many of the things that I learned, I studied, okay, from the Bible, they come flashing back to me. Okay, they come flashing back. Just the other day, I was arguing with Pastor Lily. I asked her, do you know why the Jews are, why the land of Israel is so blessed? Is it because the Jews are so special and God bless them? They are so intelligent, they are able to grow crops in the desert. Then I say, actually I found one portion of scripture that shows the reason why the land of Israel is so blessed. And the Bible says very clearly, for the Lord cared for the land. Wow. If you can understand this truth, for the Lord cared for the land, that means God cared for the land of Israel. Okay, you can only learn all this if you really memorize a portion of scripture that is given to you by God. Let's read Psalms 38. Psalms 38. Okay, I know it's a little bit long, but I'm going to read slowly that you can understand. Okay, it is a psalmist that is expressing his cry to God. He says here, Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your wrath. Your arrows have pierced me. And your hands has come down upon me. Because of your wrath, there is no health in my body. There is no soundness in my bones because of my sin. My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. My wounds fester and are loathsome because of my sinful folly. I am bowed down and brought very low. All day long, I go about mourning. My back is filled with searing pain, and there is no health in my body. I am fevered and utterly crushed. I groan in anguish of heart. All my longings lie open before you, Lord. My sighing is not hidden from you. My heart pounds. My strength fails me. Even the light has gone from my eyes. My friends and my companions avoid me because of my wounds. My neighbors stayed far away. Those who want to kill me set their traps. Those who would harm me talk of my ruin. All day long they scheme and lie. I am like the deaf who cannot hear, like the mute who cannot speak. I become like one that does not hear, whose mouth can offer no reply. Lord, I wait for you. You will answer, Lord my God. For I say, do not let me Lord, let them gloat or exalt themselves over me when my feet sleep. For I am about to fail, and my pain is ever with me. I confess my iniquity. I am troubled by my sin. Many have become my enemies without cause. Those who hate me without reason are numerous. Those who repay my good with evil lodge accusation against me, though I seek only to do what is good. Lord, do not forsake me. Do not be far from me, my God. Come quickly and help me, my Lord and my Savior. Father, anoint this message right now. Help us to understand the beauty of your word, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray. Okay, I'm going to title my sharing this morning, The Sick Sinner. Okay, what you have just read talks a lot about the physical sickness, okay? There is a back pain, okay? There is wound in the body that fester and grow. Okay. There is the eyes that fails. All these are description of a physical sickness. There was this man called Ajay Gohil. Ajay Gohil was brought up as a Hindu. and worked for the family business as a news agent in northern London. At the age of just 21, he contracted atrodermic psoriasis. Okay, it is a chronic skin disease that grows, that grows and is sketchy. Okay, it's itchy. I think the problem right now we are facing in the world is what we call the monkey pox. Okay, you heard about the monkey pox where boils is over all your body and it is affecting men especially. Okay, if you want to know what is this, go and read about it. Okay, I'm not going to make any statement concerning that. So he contracted a chronic skin disease. He dropped his weight from 73 kilo to 47 kilo. The disease was all over his body from the head to the toe. He lost all his friends. His wife and his son left him. He wanted to die. As Arjun lay in hospital, he cried out to God. Remember, he was a Hindu. He looked into his locker in the hospital and found a Bible there. He opened it up. When he opened it up, it was Psalms 38. A Psalms for today. Each and every verse seems relevant to him. He prayed to God for God to heal him. He fell into a very deep sleep. By the next morning, he was totally healed. His skin was new like a baby skin. And his life was turned around. He reunited with his son and he was interviewed in one of the services in a church in London, Holy Trinity, Brompton. He said, "Every day I live for Jesus." You know, brothers and sisters, life is not all plain sailing. We all face problems, but more specifically, I just want to talk about physical problems or sicknesses today. Whatever you are facing today, God is able to rescue you. In the passage for today, we see examples of trouble. Okay? David not only faced trouble, he faced traps from the enemy. He faced testing from God and he faced temptation and how he handled them. Psalms 38, if you study Psalms 38, it's a song full of pain and dark with guilt. Most likely, as I say, it is written by David. But as you read this Psalms properly, okay, if you go through this Psalm properly, you are reminded of another person, and that is the person of Job. Because he too, whatever they say in Psalms 38, Job went through each and every one of those experiences. The Bible says Job was filled with boils all over his body. Here we see the psalmist poured out his complaint before the Lord. The psalmist feel the sore effect, the physical effect, and the spiritual effect as a result of, for David, his sin. Okay, this psalms is very much in common in Psalms 32 and Psalms 51. Especially if you study probably in the Jewish culture, in the Old Testament, the Jewish thought, sin and sickness were related. Sin and sickness were related. They thought that confessions of sin brought answered prayer and restoration of mind, spirit, and body. But even in the New Testament, the disciples' culture, when they were with Jesus, they were heavily influenced even in the New Testament. In the disciples' culture, sin and sicknesses and suffering were often seen as a result of punishment for sin. And many of you, okay, you also feel the same thing. This is verified in John chapter 5, verse 2, where Jesus' disciple asked him, "Master, who did sin? This man or his parents that he was born blind?" This man was born blind. And the disciple, they were in that culture, they asked Jesus, "Master, who was the one that caused this sin? Himself or his parents?" In other words, those who suffered must have deserved it. Or at least someone in the family was the cause of the sickness. The fact that this man was born blind then leaves the disciple with only two options. Either the man somehow sinned before his birth. How can you sin before your birth? Something is wrong. Or he's been punished for something his parents did. Jesus directly countered this mistake by that personal, listen carefully, personal suffering is not necessarily linked to one's own personal sin. I repeat, personal sicknesses is not necessarily linked to one's own personal sin. In a broad sense, all suffering is a result of sin. Aftershocks of the fall of man through Adam and Eve. It is also true that most of the suffering we experience in this world is primarily the result of human sin. Everything from political unrest to poverty to hunger are grounded in humanity rejecting the created purpose of God. But as this man's example show, not all suffering is directed, deserved in and of itself. What I'm trying to say, not everything that happens to a person happens because he did something wrong. Your sin, your sickness is not necessary because of your sin. Hardship and suffering, including persecution, will not surefire. Maybe you are going through hardship. You are going through suffering. You are going through persecution. They are not a surefire sign of divine retribution. This directly counters the Eastern culture of the karma that suggests that all current suffering in some way is a person's fault. Therefore, there is a need. There's a need to see another aspect of the correlation between sickness and sin that we must look into. Not all sicknesses, listen carefully, not all sicknesses is a result of sin. Here we see three aspects of the problems of David that is found in Psalm 38. The physical problem, which is actually his sickness. The attacks of the enemy. The rejection of friends. But we also have to remember that Job experienced the physical sickness boiling over his family. Attacks of his enemies, his friend, his three good friends say that he has sinned. And the rejection of his family, the Bible tells us Job's, all the relatives and friends of Job all left him. But Job did not sin. The Bible so clearly, Job did not sin. Life is hard. Life is hard. Unfair. Problems come unexpectedly. Problem comes unexpectedly. Okay, I just heard that one of you got dengue and COVID. Is it because of your sin? My mom, at the age of 86, just recently, I don't know where she is. She walked. And one small little child just run past her and pushed her down. She fell on her back at the age of 86. I was worried. Pastor Lily was worried. I prayed. Pastor Lily prayed. I asked my sister, you have to send her to the hospital. Send her for x-ray. Okay, thank God. Thank God. She felt the pain on the back. She felt the pain on the back. So I said, she said she wants to go to the doctor. And thank God, just now, my sister told me that she's okay. But we need to see the result of the x-ray. And the x-ray result came back. She's okay, nothing wrong. I thank God. And she is now going to church. She said, I'm going to church. My mom and I are going to church. She's in church right now. So, she's old and she is walking and somebody pushed her down. A small child pushed her down. So is it because of her sin that she has this pain? Like Job, many of us wonder, have I offended God? Have I violated God's law? Is this what is happening to me? A judgment of sin? Or just a random occurrence of evil events and people in a fallen world? Like the COVID-19, like the Ukraine war that bring forth the food crisis. It has nothing to do with you at all. Yet you are suffering. There are many people that lost their job. Am I correct? So maybe you are like Job, asking why. Why? So do all humans, they ask why. Whereas for David, most likely he did sin. As with many psalms, the connection between the sickness, the physical problem, the attacks of the enemy, the rejection of friends is really uncertain. You cannot understand. They are related, but they remain a mystery. Job, it was a mystery to Job, totally. For Job, it was God having an argument with Satan. So we are not all knowing, so we do not understand. But we can only tell you that all these things remain a mystery, and many a time is uncertain. Are they literal or figurative of sin's social consequences? Honestly, we cannot totally be certain. Was Aja Gohi's chronic skin disease a result of his sin? Honestly, I don't know. The Bible says so clearly, Job did not sin against God. Maybe today, you are very sick. There's some sickness in your body. For David, his sickness was not just one disease, okay? There was a few sickness that was described. It was not just, okay, maybe one problem of sickness. There was a few sicknesses in his body. For Job, he did not sin. Maybe you are like Job, you did not sin. Some of you say, I have not forgotten you, God. I have not dealt deceitfully with you, God. I've tried to walk my way. I tried to serve you. My heart remains pure. And I have not deviated from your way. I can only surmise that the person who is experiencing sicknesses can give you the answer, because he personally knows the conditions of his lifestyle. But the reaction of the person who committed sin and the person who did not commit sin and yet he had sicknesses should be the same, must be the same, can be the same. What can we learn from this portion of scripture? Number one, the true conditions of the psalmist. Psalms 38 verse 1 to 3 says, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thy arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand press me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thy anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. When one look at all the physical problem mentioned here, there is more than one sickness here. The psalmist described his conditions and feelings. Do you feel this morning, do you feel Yahweh displeasure and wrath upon your life? David sensed, as a result of his sickness, he sensed Yahweh's displeasure. He pleaded with Yahweh not to rebuke him in his wrath. He asked Yahweh not to chasten him in his burning anger. The verb, is often used of a covenant right violation. That means David broke the covenant with God. When David said, for thy arrows stick fast to me, thy hand press me sore, he feels Yahweh's punishment. The physical result of Yahweh's displeasure because of sin, it described, oh, it talks about this body of his, okay? No soundness in my flesh. No health in my bone. Some of you, you always have pain in your bone. Lately, you know, I love to eat pomelo. Then I noticed that how come in the night I have joint pain, I have muscle pain. Then Pastor Lily said, because you love to eat. No, when I buy pomelo, the whole pomelo, I can just finish the whole thing by myself. Then the next day I will just buy another pomelo. Then I'll eat the whole pomelo on my. I love pomelo, and in the night I have that pain. Okay, there is no health in my bone, wounds. Some of the sicknesses of the people of this world. Maybe some of you can understand what I'm saying. The wounds, they grow and they fester. They grow and they fester. You heard about gangrene. Huh? Some wounds in the body, they continue and they never leave. I remember I have this scar in my leg. No matter what, it cannot go away. It cannot go away. For many, many years. Then somebody tell me, I don't know, I just fell in love with green tea. And I drink. I think I drank for 1 year. Not because of that. Then one day I woke up and realized, hey, the wound is totally gone. Is it because of God or is it because of green tea? I don't know. Okay? But I talk about the sicknesses of a person bent over. He's bowed down in mourning. Loins are girt with burning. He's benumb. That means he's numb. He's so painful that he's totally numb, like Job. Literally, he's spent by the sickness. Crushed. Groaned. He groaned so much that he groaned like a His noise comes out like the noise of an animal. And you notice the strings of the perfect tense verbs that are used. The verbs that are used are called perfect tense. When you use perfect tense, it means Yahweh's anger and wrath has come and remained. Oh, that's the sad part. That's the scary part. What a terrible conditions of mind, body that is described here. It is one thing to experience the physical aspect of the problem. It's another thing to feel the guilt of sin that overwhelm you. The word faster is found in verse 5, is used of the cursing and blessing of Deuteronomy. Faster denotes a rotten decay. Are you decaying? Are you decaying? Are you shrinking in your health? Are you sick? Psalmist continues. When he feels his eyes fails, here he's not saying that he is becoming blind, but it's an idiom for lack of health, joy, and peace. When you say your eyes fail, he's trying to say that your health is failing you. Joy is no more there. Some of you have no more joy because of something. There's no more peace because you are so troubled. You're so troubled. In this state, he felt no joy, no peace, and only bad health. Then the worst is that he has interpersonal issues. Loved ones stand aloof, friends stand aloof, kinsmen stand afar off. In addition, his enemies seek his death. They lay snares, they threaten destruction, they devise treachery all day long. This is the conditions of the psalmist. Number two, the response of the psalmist. The response of the psalmist. 38:15. Lord, I wait for you. You will answer. I wait for you. You will answer. Whether your present condition is because of sin, like that of David, or not because of sin, like that of Job, your response to what you are going through right now should be the same. Life is not all plain sailing. We will face trouble, including sicknesses. Whatever you're facing, your trust should be in God. Your cry should be toward God. Do you understand me? Like I talk about my mom, right? I turn towards God. Personally, in her own personal devotion, pray, turn towards God. Whatever it is, whether it's because you are like David or whether it's because you are like Job, one that is seen, one that has not seen, your trust should be in God. Psalms 38 is an example of troubles. There are some people, they just, because of sicknesses, because of trouble, they just go ahead and take their own lives. There are others that say, curse God and die, like Job's wife. There are still others that will not have anything to do with God and take matters into their own hand. But not the sick sinner. David knew what it's like to experience new health. On top of it, David has to cope with opposition. He's surrounded by people who want to see his downfall. Yet in the midst of all this, the Bible says, David cried to God. He knew that God was able to forgive him. And I say the same thing. You must know that God is able to forgive you. He knew that God is able to rescue him. He knew that God is able to heal him. You look at Aja. He just cried to God and he has never heard about God. He just turned the Bible and he turned and opened it and it was Psalm 38 and he just cried to God and God gave him a new skin. A totally new skin. Whatever your failings, whatever difficulties you face, you too, you can bring them to God. Prayer. Bring them to God in prayer. Let's look at the COVID-19. Look at the Ukraine war that brought about the high oil prices, resulting in food increases in prices. Many of us will say that it's no fault of yours, and I agree with you that these two global issues individually is no fault of yours that has engulfed the world. Faithful followers like David who sinned and Job who did not sin must know, always know that Yahweh is their hope. Yahweh is their protection. Yahweh is their place of safety amidst the problems and conflicts of this fallen world. How are you going to go through today? You know, the world is very shaky. What I'm trying to tell you is that right now what you need most in your life is Jesus. Just not a song. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. What you need most? I don't know what you are going through. Maybe it's really a physical sickness. What you need most is Jesus. Is Jesus. This peace with God must be embraced. It must be a faith act. It must be a faith act. Like Habakkuk say, though the fig tree will not bear fruits, I will still praise the Lord. Though things doesn't seem fine, I will still praise the Lord. It is that it is a faith act, and your worldview is totally different from the outside people's worldview. Okay? In the circumstances of the reality that is in this world, yet your worldview is different because you are different. You have God in your life. He says in verse 15, Lord, I wait for you. You will answer. You see, under a sense of God's deep displeasure, David cried to God. I think it's so beautiful. I call him David, a wise man. He followed a wise path, drawing near to God, though he sensed God's wrath and displeasure. Charles Spurgeon say, the angers of others I can bear, but not thine. But not thine. As thy love is most sweet to my heart, so thy displeasure is most cutting to my conscience. The psalmist, the petition of psalmist here preferred is that Jehovah will not condemn. What I'm trying to tell you is this. Why must you turn to God? Jehovah will not condemn as a judge, but chasten as a father for the amendment and preservation of the offender. I read to you again. God will not condemn as a judge because you are a child of God, but chasten as a father for the amendment and the preservation of the offender. You know, recently, I think most of you know, Pastor Lily will tell you in the SCG that Pastor Chua and Pastor Jocelyn with Elroy intentionally seek us out 2 weeks ago to get right with us. At the Barrio Inasa restaurant, in front of his son. You know, Pastor Chua is a very discreet man. His son doesn't know what happened. He said, Dad, I didn't know this thing. That's how discreet Pastor Chua is. At the Barrio Inasa, in front of his son, he sincerely apologized to me. Pastor Jocelyn told Pastor Lily, tears in her eyes, that there are two things that she has settled with us. Firstly, for not standing with us when stone were thrown at us, when others throw stone at us. Secondly, they recognized that Roy, the joy of their life, was given to them by us. Before Pastor Chua flew off, again Pastor Chua wrote this message to my WhatsApp. He said this, Hi Pastor Tony, I'm flying to Cebu for one final week before returning to Singapore. Thanks for the opportunity to reconnect with you and Pastor Lily. We will catch up in September when you return. I'm sure I must have contributed to the pains both of you suffered during the 10 years breakup, for which I apologize and seek your forgiveness. God bless your endeavors in Philippines and beyond. Take care and see you soon. Pastor Chua apologized to me 3 times throughout this entire trip. I want to be very honest. He's more humble than I. Okay, I don't know there's such a thing, more humble or humbler, okay? He's more humble than I. And that is a real reason why I want to catch up with him. And God would not judge, would not condemn as a judge, but chasten as a father for the amendment, for the change and the modification, for the preservation, protection, safeguarding of this offender. I complimented Pastor Chua and said that you are a changed man, you have become a better man. Say, thank you. It is better to be better than to be bitter. I think it's correct. We read of the deep distress and agonies of David. But it was good. It was good. I thank God for 2012. What you are going through, why don't you thank God? Yes. Why don't you thank God for your sickness? I say to you right now, why don't you thank God for the sickness? Mention the sickness and thank God for the sickness. We then understand that on the cross, Jesus was made the target of the same agony. For our sin, not his sin. And not only to be forgiven, but to be healed of the physical problem. Protected from the attacks of the enemy and the rejection of friends. When Jesus went to the cross, we are not only forgiven, we are healed of our physical problem. We are protected from the attacks of the enemies. We have experienced not the rejection of friends. Pastor Lily, God has preserved Pastor Lily and I from the attacks of the enemy and healed us even of the rejection of friends. I thank you for celebrating my 61st birthday last Sunday. But I want to tell you what I say, and I meant what I say when I was addressing you last Sunday. The only thing I treasured most in my life right now is definitely my wife, my children, Joy, Jen, Ben and Daryl, and definitely the members of this church. These are the things that I treasure the most. And these are the things that God has given me. It's better to have honest, real friends. Do you understand me? Yeah, it's better to have real friends than have too many friends. You know, some of you, you got 1,000, 2,000 followers in the Facebook. Please. No. I thank God. Please understand that Jesus, the Holy Jesus, at the time of his passion, received the arrow meant for us and sustained this weight for the sins of us. Understanding the agony of Jesus at the cross helps us to understand something of the greatness of the love that God has sent to us through the cross. Like just on the song, you will cry because of Jesus. You will cry because of Jesus. Maybe this morning, Psalms 38 says, there is no soundness in my flesh because of your anger. Like David, you not only sense God's displeasure spiritually towards you, but also physically. Maybe you sense God's displeasure towards you. Physically and spiritually. This may be because of the chastening hand of God. And maybe it's evident because of some sickness and illness and the stress. And some of you, I just want to tell, I can sense that there's depression in some of you right now. I don't know, but I just sense it. There's depression in some of you right now. However, this is evident that whatever it was, he most deeply deplored the cause of it, and he worthily lamented, so he found mercy at the hand of God. Honestly, our response should be like David. David confessed he's been judged for his sin, and God make it clear to him, he nevertheless glorified God. In a way he deals with it. He's not faulting God. He felt the weight of sin, yet he believed an honest and heartfelt telling of his confession, of his tears of repentance, cleansed by the blood of Jesus, healed by the Spirit of the Holy Spirit. That is the way out. Confession brings forgiveness from Yahweh, forgiveness for self, a sense of restoration and fellowship. Confession recognizes human guilt for breaking Yahweh's law, Yahweh's character, and forgiveness and mercy. The last part is the most important. The response of Yahweh. I ask you this morning, you look at yourself right now. You look at your present spiritual condition, your present physical condition, your present social condition. How does God look at you right now? What do you think God see you as? Listen, look at yourself. Have a close, introspective look at yourself. What does God see you? How does God see you right now? It's a very important truth. Because the devil has managed to lie to many of us, including myself. No, I was doing my devotion, and it totally blew my mind. What God sees me. and Yahweh's attitude towards each and every one of us. I believe all of you heard about the story of Barak and Balaam. How Barak asked Balaam to curse the children of Israel 3 times, yet all 3 times, Balaam ended up blessing Jacob. I read this portion of scripture. I read this portion of scripture to show you how God sees you. Okay, to show you how God sees you. It's in Numbers 23:19-23. I read to you, you see. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Had he said, shall he not do it, means he will take care of Jacob. Had he spoken, shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment. Balaam is saying, I have received commandment from God to bless. And he had blessed. And I cannot reverse it. Listen, this is the most powerful. He had not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither had he seen perverseness in Israel. For the Lord his God is with him. The shout of the king is among them. This is from where you get the song, the shout of the king is among us. God brought them out of Egypt. He had, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination. No curse, no enchantment, no omens can come against Israel. According to this time, it shall be said of Israel, what had God wrought. Verse 21 is this. He had not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither had he seen perverseness in Israel. What? That is Numbers. He has not gone to Deuteronomy yet. Numbers was the time they were still in the wilderness, walking in the wilderness. They have failed God 10 times. They have tested God 10 times. They have rebelled. They have murmured. They rebelled. They complained about the manna. They complained about no meat. And they tested God. They tested God. As a matter of fact, immediately after this, Barak and Balaam, they committed immorality, they intermarried with Barak's people. I cannot reconcile this verse where God talk about Israel concerning and their real true condition. Many of us, we are in these shoes. Just recently, I read the portion of scripture. It kind of reminded me of what I am exactly like. I've been a Christian for 40 years. And this church will be a church that has started for 40 years. Okay? Reaching its 40th year soon, in a few years' time. Deuteronomy 8:2 says this. And you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God led you these 40 years. In the wilderness to humble you and to prove you, to know what is in your heart, whether you would keep his commandment or not. Immediately in my spirit, I confess to Yahweh. I say, Yahweh, you have led me these 40 years. And it has been 40 years of ups and downs and wilderness to humble me, to prove me, to know what I am actually like as a person. So why did Yahweh say in Psalms, Numbers 21, 23, 21, that he behold no iniquity in us? Neither has he seen perverseness in Israel or in us. I was immediately brought to the image of Jesus, who died on the cross of Calvary for us. Therefore, when God sees us, he sees Jesus. No iniquity, no perverseness. God is his mercy because of Jesus. Shut his eyes to the evil which exists in individuals, and for his own sake would not impute it to his chosen people because of Jesus. It is not that sin did not exist. It existed even in Israel, even in you, which I just explained to you in Numbers. But because it was not imputed to them, that repent and believe Jesus. God did not behold sin in a faithful soul, because he regards it not as his own nakedness, but clothed with the righteousness of Christ, which admits not any spot or stain. In a personal dealings, according to the Septuagint and the Targum, one does not behold iniquity means that our iniquity is not flagrant, was not left to gather heads and volumes, allow it to grow because we repent of our sin and you brought us down. The word perverseness means suffering as the consequence of sin. God will not allow. God will not allow. You know, as a result of looking at Jesus, I want you to understand. Please, you have to understand the part of Balaam's poem that lists several of the things that God has done, will not do, God has done, will not do to Israel and also to us. God has done and will not do for us. Yahweh has sent a blessing that cannot be revoked. Yahweh has seen our problem but has not counted our sin against us. Yahweh is uniquely with us. Yahweh has established himself as our king. The shout of the king is among us. Yahweh brought us out of Egypt, sin with a strong hand. Yahweh cannot be affected by the omens and the divination, because he is for Israel, he is for us. Yet Israel, we will be a powerful, will be powerful like a young lioness. A lioness is a hunter, the protector, a provider of the prey. Today, you listen carefully. God also showed me. He's saying the same thing to Barak. Barak is actually Satan. When Job was suffering of the physical sickness, how did he suffer? Because Satan went to see God and complained about Job. Yahweh is saying the same thing to Satan about us. Firstly, Yahweh taught Barak about the people of Israel. He told Barak, Satan, that they were blessed, that they were walking in purity, that God is with Israel, and God has brought them out of Egypt, and God has protected them from all sorcery and divination. What I'm trying to tell you is this. Nothing can happen to you without God's permission. You know what I'm saying? No curse can come upon you. You know, for Pastor Lily, I believe she comes from a very rich family. Yet, because the family do not know God, many of them, somebody cursed her family. And many of the family members died. But Pastor Lily came out of that curse. And whatever happened, the curse did not come upon Pastor Lily. That is what is happening to us. Nobody can curse you. And it can be effective because God will not allow it. God said the divination and the omen will not be effective against you. Yahweh is telling Satan about us that we are the people of God, that we are blessed, that we are walking in purity with Jesus, and God is with us. He has brought us out of sin. He has protected us against any sorcery and divination, that he will see us through. He will see us through. He will see us through the victory. In conclusion, Balaam prophesies, which is God, that the latter end of the righteous, he calls us righteous, the latter end of the righteous is more blessed and desirable than his death. For in there we live again. We live forever, to inherit eternity of bliss in exchange for a few short years of strifes and pain. Balaam too prophesies, which is God, that it is not possible for man to reverse the benediction which God has pronounced upon his people. It is not possible for God to reverse the benediction that God has pronounced upon us. The blessing we are inherit is set, and nobody can take it away. Yahweh is leading us to the holy hill. The holy hill is Zion, house, sanctuary, habitation, temple, mountain, seat of God. You know, in the millennium, in eternity, we'll be dwelling in this holy hill. You will come down from heaven and you will abide at Jerusalem, and we will be there. It is our dwelling place. So why should you despair? Why should you despair as in David or as in Job? Because he is for us all the way. I read to you something that is even very interesting. Luke chapter 12, verse 36, 37. He said this, therefore let your loin be girded about. That means stand up. Be strong. Be strong. And your light burning, and you yourself light unto men that wait for the Lord. For when he returned from the wedding, that when he come and knock, they are opened unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he come, shall find watching. Verily I say to him, this is the last verse, Jesus shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and Jesus will come forth and serve them. There's a marriage supper of the Lamb. I just want to tell you, the food in the marriage supper of the Lamb is better than any food you have ever tasted in your entire life. Pastor Lily is a very good cook, and I appreciate her for that. But the food that I'm eating in heaven, okay, in the marriage supper, you will be the tastiest, the best food I've ever tasted in my entire life. And the person that is serving me is Jesus. Jesus. God is challenging us to be ready and always keep our lamps burning as believers, waiting for the return of Jesus. We are exalted to be like the man who wait for the master. The ready servant will be served by the master and be blessed. What I'm trying to tell you is, don't give up your faith. Even the fig tree don't grow. Even the promises of God has not come to fulfillment in your life. Even there's some disasters that happened in your life, in your family. You will still praise the Lord. You will still thank God. You will still worship God. Even if you are sick, you should praise God. And this morning, I want you, all of you that are sick, I want you to make an intentional effort to just praise God. Just praise God. And who knows? If please God, He will just come and heal you. Those of you that are in depression, I want to challenge you. Why don't you just praise God? Praise God. And who knows? He may live up the spirit of heaviness that is in you. Musician, can you all come?